Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 108 of the Still City Insider podcast. And Jim and I are very excited because today we get to welcome back to the show for, I think, the fourth time, Mr. Craig Wolfley, Steelers offensive line great and current color analyst for the Steelers in the booth. Wolf, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. I was just thinking, I was hoping this is like my fifth one. It's like Saturday Night Live. How many times do you get to host Saturday Night Live? Then they got the five-time host, the 10-time host, but I'm only four. So you got to bring me back for another, Jim.
Definitely. It's an honor.
Well, this is just Tuesday afternoon tape, but I mean, Saturday Night Live doesn't wait, Wolf.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Craig, I saw the columns that you had on the Insider talking about the draft haul that we had in terms of offensive linemen. And we had a little discussion before we got on here that this draft almost harkens back to that 1980 Steelers draft class that you were a part of. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But these offensive line picks, you have some great breakdowns of them. And we could start there with, and Jim, I'm going to get it right. You'll be proud of me. Troy Faletanu, and get your take on him.
Well, Troy is really a remarkable athlete for an offensive lineman. And the fact is, of course, as we were talking earlier off the air, it was like, how sexy is this draft? Well, you got three fat guys up front. But I say to you, we beat that in 1980 when we had four. Yes, four hogs drafted over the course of 12 rounds. That's about as good as it gets. But certainly, I got to tell you this. I love watching what Troy Faletanu. All right, I got to work on that before the season starts. But
if anyone does, you do, Wolf. I mean, being a team announcer, alone.
I know that's really pitiful on my part. I usually look at Billy and go, "Whatever he said when he said it." But Billy, what am I going to do? He's retired now, so now I got to find out how it's going to work. But regardless, look at. Troy is really a remarkable athlete for such a big man. He's able to move, and I love watching what he's capable of doing. But as I said earlier, when you and I, we were talking, and then when I wrote in the article, my first impression was, I love this guy at guard. I mean, this guy looks like a guard, moves like a guard, finishes like a guard, does things that on the inside that are really remarkable. And it'll translate well to the outside, no doubt. But he's got a lot of athletic attributes that, to me, really would have boiled down nicely on the inside.
You know, Wolf, I was on a radio show, and some national show, and they were saying that the Steelers draft wasn't very sexy. And you know, fans have to endure a draft where three offensive linemen are drafted in the first four rounds. You were the first one drafted in 1980, and you were in the fifth round. So there was some sexiness to that draft with John Goodman and Bob Boers up top, you know?
Right.
Who was the number? Who was the first round pick that year?
That was Mark Malone from Arizona State. He was a quarterback. Well,
all right. Maybe the bottom half of that draft was sexier, but.
to the day my good friend, my brother Tunch Ilkin Parrish, I always reminded him, going, you know what, Chilich, just remember I was the fifth rounder and you were just the sixth.
How did that go over?
Didn't go well, because of course he graduated from Indiana State with a degree, and of course, as he pointed out to me, you just got a certificate of attendance from Syracuse.
and who's in the school's journalism hall of fame?
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be me.
The
broadcasting, not journalism, but the broadcasting stuff. And it really, it's kind of like you're just part of a wall thing. You know, they just put your mug up there. When I had to tell them, and when they asked if they could include me in it, and I just said, well, you understand that A, I didn't graduate, and B, I never went to the broadcasting school. I saw it from the street. It looked very nice.
Well, you know, I did my Steeler Nation road trip book tour into Indiana State to find the greatness of Tunch Ilkin on the walls. And the big sports bar, there was a bartender, and I had my video camera. I said, I'm writing a book on the Steelers, and I want to ask you about Tunch Ilkin. And he goes, sure. So he steps out from behind the bar. We set up. I start videoing him. I said, okay, tell me what you know about Tunch Ilkin. He said, I don't know a thing. I never heard of him. So that was my interview at Indiana State, and that's how Tunch is remembered. I tell that story to Tunch, and he always laughed, you know.
It was always a good chuckle for Chalooch, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was good, you know, how good-natured he was. But anyway, I'm telling this guy, you know, fans really think this draft is sexy in Pittsburgh, and that ought to tell you something about Steelers fans. I mean, they have an innate knowledge of what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. And these guys, and we'll start with Faatanu, they do it in a ass-kicking kind of way. I mean, it's entertaining to watch his tape. But you say he's a guard, Wolf.
Well, what I like about him, first of all, he's got a good low center of gravity, plays well with reach. He gets his hands out. One of the things that there's a difference from my era to this era is the extension of the arms and playing long, as they call it, with the stabs and everything to set up double teams with the zone blocking schemes. It's a different thing than when we rip off the ball and try to put our foreheads in the chin of a guy and try to roll them back on the other side of the line of scrimmage. It's a different element. He moves very well on the inside. He's got a lot of power, and he plays with a low pad level, but he's very good with his hands as well. So just the way he moved reminded me of a guy that would be very efficient on the inside. Now, let's face it, he's going to play tackle too. Absolutely, no problem. But I just think watching him, given the tape that I saw and watching it a number of times, it stood out to me first off that this guy could really do well on the inside.
Yeah, I mean, you watch him pull. He pulled. They used him a lot out in space. Pulling, trapping. I mean, he's just so fun. He really could move. And getting out in front of screens.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's not like he's out there 6'6", 6'7", lumbering around looking for somebody to pretend to hit. He can lower the boom on safeties. I mean, linebackers, of course. But, I mean, there's no agility problems with him out in space.
No, he's athletic, and he doesn't whiff on guys. He gets out in space. You know, I always used to bust on Ramon Foster because one time up at training camp, and Max was there, so he's an eyewitness. They had a heavy bag, and they were doing cut block drills on the heavy bag. And I watched 350 pounds of Ramon Foster, who I love, who was an excellent, great Steelers lineman, whiff on the heavy bag. I'm going, what are you kidding me? Why did you whiff on that? It didn't move. It was right there. No, so we got this big chuckle, but taking that as it is, you know, with Troy, you see him, he's no show pony out there. He's not out there leading the band and looking good. He's out there and he does destruction when he gets somebody in his gun sights and he goes after him. And I like it. He's aggressive. He has an innate sense of where the back is. And what you want to do is always read the guy with the thought of who's behind you, what that back is looking at, and what's in front of you. It's a two-way thing, kind of a little trifecta you're working in your mind there. And he does that very well out in open space.
So,
it's funny.
Good.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, so Wolf, just with, you know, talking about Faatanu, I got it again, Jim. I'm 2 for 2, you know, looking at him on that left side of the line there at the tackle position. Do you see him supplanting Dan Moore to start the season? Or do you think it's going to take a few games for him to get in there as a starter?
As always, I'm always on the cautious side of, look, Danny Moore is an excellent left tackle. He might not be the superstar that a lot of people are seemingly want at the left tackle. This guy is tough, hard-nosed, comes to work, and he's gotten better each and every year that he's been there at the left tackle spot. It's going to be a battle. I say, let him compete. Just let him compete. That's what brings out the best of the athletes, of the best of the competitors. Mm-hmm. Now, if something else is in the works, I don't know. You know, but the fact of the matter is, I don't have the low opinion that some people seem to have of Dan Moore. The guy fights every week, week in, week out, and availability is the best ability, as they say. And he's come a long ways from where he's at, and I appreciate his skill level.
So, Wolf, what do you expect? I know you don't. You said you don't know, and I'm sure you're alluding to which side Faatanu is going to play. They're going to start him at. You want to get a rookie started at a spot, and if you're going to move Broderick Jones, you might as well do it early. If you do it,
There's no question that that quite possibly could be, and that's why the OTAs are going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds. Look, with the triumvirate of three offensive linemen, the bottom line is, listening to Andy Weidel last year, Omar Khan last year, they talked over and over about needing a physicality type line, a line that is just a smash them up, crash them up, take over in the second half, ground and pound type of situation. And I love it. And, you know, and you, that's what you want to see. And that's the overall, what I see of these three offensive linemen. They bring that physical nature, that desire to block to the whistle, that desire to put a little jelly on their work. You know, if you knock a guy down, you put a little elbow in the midriff, you push off on his face mask, you kneel on his chest, all accidentally, of course, but seriously, to make sure that you leave a marked impression, a calling card, if you will, about what you're about to go about in this whole afternoon of work. You're going to go after him, and you're going to be back, and you're going to be back for more.
You know I was talking to Mark Bruner the other day, and I have a story coming tomorrow. Mark, of course, scouted Fautano up in Seattle. Mark is a Husky. Mark was the last Husky they drafted in the first round 29 years ago. Mark and I were rookies in 1995 together. I always thought I was the reason they went to the Super Bowl, but I figured that was probably Mark. But anyway, Mark used that old, I love this old saying that Fautano blocks through the echo of the whistle. Does not cheap, but through the echo. And today, in your story on Mason McCormick, Mayhem, as you called him, which is a great commercial series. I love that Mayhem series. So I could only think of that commercial when you were writing. You wrote, he plays through the echo of the whistle in the next block or park. Or I forget
next valley over.
The next valley over.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, look, I appreciate guys that hustle to the whistle. You want that. You want to have guys that set that sort of pace. They're finishers. They play to that whistle, and it keeps guys, you know, sheriff in the pile, doing all those sorts of things. It keeps guys kind of, you know, on the lookout, and it tires defensive linemen out through the course of the day. It's like you're constantly harassing the defense. Good. You know, that's what you want, that extra effort. Well, you also get guys that kind of can push it a little bit, you know, the limits of what the whistle is all about, you know. And that's one of the things that I like about Mason McCormick. Mason is one of those guys, as Zach Frazier is too, where it's like, don't be standing around the pile. Be about finishing your business. Anticipate the fact that you're going to be in a little bit of a brawl throughout the day. And that's the way it is, you know. And I like that. It's just setting a Steelers thing way back in the 70s, you know, through the Super Bowl teams. That offensive line was a tough, rough group of guys that played hard, was physical, and beat on guys throughout a game. They were noted for that, the Steeler lines through the 2000s, you know, when you got the Fanica, Big Red type guys, Marquise Pouncey and the Ramon Fosters and so forth, the Marvell Smiths and that. Those guys were all rough, tough guys and played to the whistle. And you love that extra effort. You want to see that extra effort.
I asked Mark about the fact that Fautano played left tackle for a left-handed quarterback. Does that diminish his ability as a blindside protector? Should we not as expect much out of this left tackle? He laughed. He ran the stats by me about how many sacks he's given up, how many pressures. And he said, college teams especially still use their best pass rusher on the right side of the defense. So he had to deal with the best pass rushers in college football. And the other thing I wanted to say is, I would be shocked if at rookie minicamp, if Fautano's starting out on the right side. And I think if they start him out at the left side in rookie minicamp, I think he's going to stay there. And I don't see Dan Moore going to right tackle. I see Broderick staying at right tackle. He played so well there last year.
Yeah.
So that's just my opinion. I don't see them making all those moves to accommodate a rookie, basically.
No, I think you're closer to being right than I am to not knowing what's going on. You know, I just look at it, and Broderick is such an athlete, very capable. You know, you could, you know, talk about flipping him and stuff, but right now he showed himself very capable on the right side. Danny's a better left tackle than he is a right tackle, given the fact that you got, Troy, I would expect Troy probably put him over there at the left tackle and then have at it. Let these guys compete and see where they're at. Competition, again, is the one thing you always want to see. When you've got competition in the room, you're going to get the best of your people.
Yeah,
and there's also one more thing, Jeremy, before I hand it off back off to you. And here I'm going to forget. I'm trying to be so courteous.
Welcome to my world, baby.
Every time I try to be courteous, I start tripping and falling and stuff. That'll teach me not to be courteous.
There you go.
But I like the athleticism from the tackles now. Fautano he's a quarter inch shy. I think Mike Tomlin said half inch shy of 6'4" when he was asked about his size. And Tomlin said, what are we talking about here? A half of an inch when it was a quarter of an inch. And I brought that up to Burner. Burner said, it's an eighth of an inch. So what are we talking about here? An eighth of an inch?
And we're talking about an eighth of an inch, an eighth of an inch. Yeah.
And, you know, I remember James Harrison licking his chops whenever he'd have to go against some 6'7", 6'8" guy. So, I think he'll be fine at his size. We all like his demeanor. His tape is just so fun to watch. Everybody likes him. There's so many tackles in that draft. I mean, I think we were looking at one of those right tackles slipping through. One of those, the Oregon State kid and the Mims and the Alabama kid, one of them would slip through because they're going to work on the three left tackles will go first. And one of those big right tackles will fall, but those right tackles went. So that meant one of the left tackles falling, and what an athlete he is.
Well, here's the thing that I like about Troy too. You watch him. He's very skilled in his handwork. You know, the handwork, Tunch and I started way back in the 80s working with some martial arts guys in the power punch. Tunch, most famous for it, was so very good at it. The trapping hands, the elite hand level of what he's able to do with knocking hands down. And one of the things that he does, and because Troy has got great ability to sense balance, much like Carlton Hasselrig and Zach Frazier. I'm sure he's got some sort of wrestling in his background somewhere, but able to snatch guys and take them down. When they're off balance, you sense that, and you know, okay, right here, boom, and then the pass rush is over. And it's like I said in your article, I said, he reminds me of back in the day when I was in college, when I was picking up a few dollars in the offseason, bouncing at bars. I was with an older guy. This guy here, man, when it was time to go, it was time to go. I don't remember his name, but I remember his game. He'd snatch people and boom, okay, you're out. And that's the way it was. But that's the way Troy is on the pass rush. When he's finished and finds a guy that's off balance, he's going to finish him.
Did you see some of the tape of when he would knock hands down a couple of times, guys just fell on their face?
Oh, they did. Matter of fact, that was pioneered by Tunch Ilkin against Reggie White, because Reggie came with that inside hand stab. Six times, Reggie and Tunch played mano a mano. Tunch never gave up a sack to the great Minister of Defense, Reggie White. And I will tell you this. I was talking to Mike Golic, the brother, when he was playing for the Eagles, after the first time Tunch played him, and he trapped his hand, knocked Reggie's hand down, Tunch did. Reggie fell on his face, and we were walking off the field after the game, and Mike says to me, goes, wow, Reggie's talking to himself. He's asking me, going, what's Tunch doing? What's happening? I keep falling down. And here it was, just that hand trap.
Wow. That's awesome. That's a great
story. Might be too much info here, man.
No, that's the, hey, this is the Still City Insider. So this is legendary conversation here. But Wolf, you talked about the triumvirate. I think you've coined a term that's going to follow this trio of offensive linemen. And you talked about Fautanu. I'm 3 for 3, Jim. And you talked about Mayhem McCormick, who you refer to as Triple M. But we don't want to leave out the Morgantown Mauler. So if you could talk about Zach Frazier.
You know, this is so neat because as I also wrote about my brother Dale, who was a standout offensive lineman down at WVU years ago and a broadcaster also, had been telling me about this guy the last couple of years. You got to watch this kid Frazier. You got to watch him. You know what? He's a high character guy. He comes from a great family, great people. He's a hard worker. This guy is one of those, plug and play, go after it type guys. And you know what? My brother Dale was so right. I wish I'd paid attention to this young man a good year and a half ago, because I would have loved to have the conversations with my brother who passed away. Unfortunately, he's with Jesus in Tunch right now. But the fact is, you know, to have that conversation with my brother Dale, because he really pointed out the high energy aspects of this guy, the wrestling base, great balance. Again, the ability to ragdoll guys, get your clamps on guys, frame your arms, clamp them. And then like Mike Webster, when you win that battle on the inside, you slam the guy. And he's very good at that. Very good at anticipating second movements after he gets locked up on the first one. Does a nice job of staying with the guys. He doesn't fall off blocks the way a lot of centers do. He's one of those guys that will complete from the slam to the lockout to the whole goring thing. He'll go from A to Z.
Yeah, and I know too, just in the past couple of years when talking about the center position for the Steelers, they've been susceptible to the bull rush. You know, going with Kendrick Green, even Mason Cole the last few years, maybe not so much with Cole. But that's something that you pointed out in your column, that's something that Frazier really excels in is stifling that bull rush and hunkering down.
Right, exactly. You know, he's got he can snap that ball excellently, even with big meat on his nose. You know, I mean, that's a hard thing. You get 350 pounds of a cheese whopper sitting on your nose, sitting on your snapping hand, and you've got to be quick enough, but you've got to go two ways. You got to snap it with skill and then all of a sudden come up with that hand with explosion and ferocity to get engaged with that big old guy sitting on your nose trying to take your head off. So that's something that is a skill. You've got to work at it and work at it. And one thing about Zach Frazier, his whole history, that everything that I picked up, been able to pick up on from what I've been told and so forth, his desire to get better and to work and stay after it. It's really exceptional. And I'm looking forward to seeing what this young man brings when he checks in at training camp.
I want to ask you about how long till these three guys are, you know, running the show up there. You know, Broderick needs his running mates. Ramon told me a couple months ago, he said, Broderick is going to have to talk to Pouncey. And Pouncey will tell him, you got to get a guy. You got to get a running buddy first. And then you start building as leaders. And Pounce and Foster said, like Pounce did with me. Now, they were the heart and soul up there. And I want you to talk about how long. But first of all, I want to hearken you back to Dermonte Dawson's rookie year, 1988. He's drafted as a guard, and they drafted Chuck Lanza in the next round as the center. So it's not like they drafted Dermonte to be the center. I mean, they knew he was versatile. And he was a very good long snapper. Apparently, that's what guided him into that position. But he was the right guard, and he got injured. He was playing well early and got injured and missed several games, like 8-10 games. And you guys were, what, 2-10?
And yeah, it was a bad year.
He came back, and I think you might have won your last four with him playing. And, you know,
that was 88. We won three out of our last four, I believe it was.
Okay. And, you know, everybody was just blasting Chuck. You know, that was when the fire Chuck started and all that. They were down on him, and Chuck kept raving about Dermonte. Everybody's like, what are you so worried about this rookie guard for? And Chuck's like, I never saw a young lineman like it. Now, you can correct any of this that's wrong, but I'm repeating what's in the history books. And then, of course, the next year, Dawson was the starting center his second year. But what do you recall from Dermonte? And then lead us into how long it's going to take these guys.
You know, we'll see. You know what I mean? You look at a guy like Troy. He's a little more efficient and pro-ready, I think, than, say, Mason McCormick, you know, because there's a bigger jump that he's got to make, that being Mason, from the double A to the pros. But I look at all three are fairly concussions ago.
that was maybe the best couple of games in the 80s for you guys. I mean, yeah, that no Denver game was, yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Look, you know, it's going to be exciting to see what these three guys can do, because you take young blood, you insert them in a veteran lineup, and all of a sudden you got guys that are kind of re-energized. And that's what I'm hoping that they do. They kind of re-energize the running attack, the desire for physicality. Mason McCormick is going to, it's going to be interesting when he comes to camp. I mean, I got to imagine that, you know, Captain Cam and him are going to see eyeball to eyeball a few times, you know, and there's going to be, you know, a little discussion about things, you know, the way it is. But certainly I expect the physicality to emerge again. It's going to up the level of the overall group of guys. And I really look forward to it. So to me, this is all about raising the standard of the whole line room in total. And I think you get a situation where, like when Tunch and I and Tyrone, when we came to the Steelers in 1980, all three of us made the team. And that was a Super Bowl line. You know, who'd have thought that all three of us would be around after the final cuts? Though I, as Tunch was, you know, Tunch got cut for a few weeks, but he was just on, you know, he was just on a little relaxation, vacation sort of thing. And he came back and, of course, was, you know, all-time great guy. But that the energy of the three of us young guys was something I think helped with the Mike Websters, the John Colbs, you know, the Larry Browns. It's a raising of the group effort because of the intensity. And the older guys really led the way back then, too. So.
And Wolf, one quick comment here about Triple M McCormick. You know, oftentimes we see the RAS or the relative athletic score thrown out there to evaluate guys at the scouting combine. And I know that McCormick does look a little bit stiff on his tape, but he had one of the highest RAS scores, Jim, right? Isn't that?
9.97. It's unbelievably high.
That's great. You know,
do you notice it on tape?
Well, what I notice is an extreme desire to pulverize people. You know, I don't know about all the RAS scores. I know that the aggressive scores, the extra desire to do things, is readily apparent when you watch his tape, where he's fundamentally maybe not the best technician. He is really good at getting into a guy, framing him up, getting his body on him. If you go back again to Ramon Foster, one of the things that Ramon Foster was so very good was being able to make guys on a pass rush. He'd make guys come down the middle of them. I mean, it's just like he just had this innate ability to position himself in front of a pass rusher where they didn't get to the edge of him very well. And of course, Ramon Foster was like a junkyard dog. He was a fighter, very much same way as this McCormick kid, I think. I liken that ability because it's going to be important. The less of an athlete you are, the more of a fighter you got to be. You've got to be willing to go after it and be physical in a way that the other guys remember you for.
Great stuff. As always, Wolf, thanks for coming on the show again. We're going to have you here for the fifth time. You'll just be like, you know, the SNL host that you were talking about. I think it was before we got on, but we're going to have you back here. But we appreciate you being on so much. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. Love being on with you guys. Thank you.
Awesome. Jim, anything that you want to plug here? Or?
No, I just want to plug the site, you know, the Steel City Insider. But Wolf's three columns in a row were not only beneficial to letting me sleep in, and so I don't have to get up and write, but very informative. Just great stuff. Wolf looking over the tape of the offensive lineman and giving his nicknames out. Morgantown Mauler, that's going to work. That's going to stick. And
absolutely.
Yeah. There's got to be something for Troy, but we'll work on that.
Yeah, well, we got
But that's all. Just, you know, Steel City Insider. We got rookie mini camp coming up, then the OTAs, and then mini camp, and we'll be on top of all that in the spring and lead features through to summer before training camp.
Yeah, and it's all going to go by in a blink of an eye, and before you know it, we're going to be talking that first preseason game, and I can't wait. But we will see everybody back here for episode 109. Be sure to check out Jim's work at the Steel City Insider. Give him a follow on Twitter at Jim Wexel. Yes.
Jeremy, don't you have something?
Oh, yeah. Jim, I completely forgot. Yeah, so you
it looked like a pretty good deal. We can make $500, you say?
Yes. So Jim always teases me about being a former principal, now a day trader, investor in the market. So I wanted to put out there part of my new business, Courage Pays Better Than Fear Trading. I'm going to be hosting a free Trading and Investing Bootcamp for beginners. So if you've ever had a desire to learn how to trade the stock market or invest in the stock market carefully and conservatively and protecting your risk, please check out the link in the show notes. There will be more information there. It'll be led by me, yours truly. But that'll be May 23rd, noon to 4 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm going to be giving away a $50,000 funded trading account. It's an audition account. I'll explain more in the webinar. But again, take advantage of what's out there in the markets. Come learn with me on the 23rd and check it out. Thanks, Jim, for reminding me of that.
Sure, Jeremy, sure.
All right. Well, we will see you back here next week for episode 109 of the Still City Insider podcast. Have a great week, everybody.
See you, fellas.